Look in Romans chapter 3. We'll start reading verse 24. Says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I'd like to point out a few things about this phrase that I find fascinating. It's the last phrase that I read almost. It says that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I think one of the very unique things about the Bible, and I've read a lot of books in my life. I used to read a lot more than I do now, but one of the very unique things about the Bible is how the Bible explains very complicated issues with very simple solutions. They're so simple that once they explain it, you stand back and say, well, of course. Of course that's the way it had to be. You know, for hundreds, thousands of years, religions have tried to explain this problem. How can God be just and justify? How can these two things, these two truths, which are mutually exclusive, how can they possibly coexist? How can you have one God who is both just and righteous and at the same time as the justifier is merciful? How can these two things both coexist? And so they've come up with many, many solutions. More than one God. We have the Greeks who have mean gods and good gods. Because you can't be both mean and good. The moment you are mean, you've ceased to be good. The moment you're good, you've ceased to be mean. You have other demigods, other little gods, like the saints. So you have the Virgin Mary. She's merciful. God is severe. And so they come up with all these solutions trying to explain this, because this is a problem. How can God possibly be just if He's merciful? Or how could He be merciful if He's just? Many times we just take these things for granted. They're like these words have no real meaning. But they do. And they cannot both exist at the same moment. Now, God is just. If you have to pick one, if He is only one, then He is only just. He is not forced. He is under no obligation to be merciful. None whatsoever. I know we would like to think so when it's our fault we're talking about. Now, when it's our neighbor's fault, well, then we're calling on judgment and justice. But when we're talking about ourselves, well, then we're talking about mercy. God, He should be merciful. But if He can only be one, then He is only under the obligation of being just. He is under no obligation to show you any mercy whatsoever. Only justice. And yet, although God is just, we see through the Bible that God has a deep, deep desire to be merciful. He wants all men to be saved, which in and of itself is an incredible phrase that you find in the Bible. It says that God would have all men to be saved. Well, that's incredible. How is it that God would want anything? I mean, God wanted light. There was light. God wants this. Find one other time. I've looked. I can't find anywhere else where it talks about God wanting or would anything. But He would all men to be saved. God has a very deep desire to be merciful. And yet mercy and justice simply can't coexist. And so you come to Romans and Paul explains with such a simple solution how these two things can both happen. You know, a lot of people don't really understand, don't fully comprehend how embroiled the problem is. Mercy and justice coexisting. If you have a judge, and they bring a criminal to his court, well, he can either be just, or he can be merciful. But if that person had committed a crime against you, and the judge somehow let him go, well, then he was not just. And a judge does that long enough, and he won't be a judge anymore. We don't put judges on the bench to show mercy. We don't. We put them on the bench to do justice. Now, we would like to think in our own particular situation that it isn't such a big deal and that it's not for so much. But every sin has a victim. Every single one. We would like to think that God could somehow just overlook things. Just gloss over our problems or our sins or our shortcomings. We think our sins aren't that big a deal. When people get offended at us, we're always surprised. I'm not, but most people are. I've come to realize that there's something wrong with everybody. They get offended at me all the time. I've just accepted all your shortcomings. No. But we're always just sort of surprised. What do you mean a problem? How can that be? But every sin has a victim, even your sins. Every single one. Every time you steal, you stole from somebody. Every time you lie, you defrauded somebody. Every time you gossip, you besmirch somebody's integrity. Every time. Every sin has a victim. Now God, being just, must take the side of the victim. Must and will. He will never take the side of the perpetrator. He's always on the side of the innocent. He's always on the side of the victim. And yet God would like to be on your side too. But you have this problem that He can't be on both. Either He does justice and appeases the need of the victim, condemning the perpetrator, or He simply ignores the victim's loss to grant you mercy. It's one or the other. Can't be both. And yet, we get to Romans, and Paul, he just explains it all. It just becomes simple. Says that God found a way where He might be just, not one bit less just, and at the same time, be the justifier. In other words, be just and be merciful. He found a way where both things can coexist. And the reconciliation between these two things is Jesus Christ. He made that possible. Without Jesus Christ, it is not possible. It simply is not possible. Without Jesus Christ, there is no mercy. Without Jesus Christ, there is no love. That's why it says, for God so loved the world. How? He gave His only begotten Son. Verses very misinterpreted. A lot of those verses that deal with God's love, very misinterpreted, as in God loves us, as in He just tolerates anything. But love is not tolerance. In fact, if you go to Romans, you'll find out to love, you must also hate. It says that we should abhor some things in order to love others. The type of love that they want to accredit to God, where He just loves everybody and loves everything. Well, that's the adulterer's type of love. He loves everybody's wife too. So without Jesus Christ, you have neither mercy, neither love. But in Jesus Christ, these two concepts, which are so foreign one to the other, are made completely possible. Completely available. And that's what He's saying here in Romans chapter 3. You come down and He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, an appeasement. You have this rift between these two parties, us and God, and between these two ideas. The Bible talks about in Colossians how Jesus Christ reconciled all things, that He is the reconciliation of all things. It's not just reconciling you to God, but it's reconciling these great principles that must somehow coexist. Mercy and justice. That God would love to show you mercy, and yet He is forced by His own nature to give justice to the victims. Well, that's where Jesus Christ comes in the gospel. Without Jesus Christ, there is no gospel.
That's right.
There is none. Without Jesus Christ, there is no solution to these problems. And it's not for lack of trying. Religion has been trying for many, many years to figure out another way that these things could coexist. All to no avail. And yet Jesus Christ, in just one act, solve the whole problem. God says, I would like to be merciful, but I'm forced to condemn. What could happen? And Jesus Christ comes and He lays down His life.
Amen.
And appeases the wrath of God. And now God is free to be merciful.
Amen.
Because somebody has paid. It seems so simple. You read it and you go, well, of course. In fact, if you've grown up in a Christian home, you've been taught this your whole life, it seems natural. It seems, well, of course. What other way could there possibly be? More than you can count. More than you can number. It is incredible the ways that the religion has tried to solve the problem, always overlooking, always glossing over this one simple, true solution that God presented to this very unique problem. And because you overlook this solution, you find yourself in the predicament of only being able to receive God's justice. And you cannot receive His mercy. Because if He has to choose, He has to choose justice. Has to. There are no exceptions. There are no loopholes. God is the judge of the whole earth, and He will do right. That is the whole confidence we have in judgment. You know, if you've ever been in a country where law doesn't mean a whole lot, then you understand the value of good, of real solid justice. If you've ever been in a country where when a policeman pulls you over, you really have no idea why?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we always say, but come on, you really knew why. I had no idea why he was pulling me over. Really? Why did you hit the brakes right before he turned that siren on? Come on now, little liars. No, but if you've ever been in a country and they pull you over and you really don't have any idea why, you don't have a clue, they're just looking for something. One time I remember I was in Mexico and me and Terry and we're going home from my parents' house in San Luis Potosí. And we're driving down, it's real late at night, and this policeman's following me. He's following me down the main street in San Luis Potosí, and he's following us down. And I know he's following me, so I'm stopping at every stoplight. Of course, So I'm stopping at every stoplight. Finally, he just turns his siren over, pulls me over. And he comes up and says, you ran a red light back there. And Terry's mad. Oh, she's upset. She doesn't look like she can get mad, but she can get mad. She wants to climb over top of me and beat him up. I'm like holding her back. And I said, no, I didn't. And he went, oh, well, have a good night then. You think, how can that... Well, see, you've never lived in a place like that. But if you've ever lived in a place like that where laws don't mean a whole lot, and where justice is not held in great high regard, and there's always an exception, and there's always a loophole, then you'll understand the value of justice. There's very little that's of greater value than justice. If you've ever been wronged, then you know the value of justice. I've said it before, but you know, it just astounds me that what the Bible teaches us is that one day God's going to have a judgment and everyone's going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
If you have kids, you know how hard that is to do. I can't even get three to be satisfied. They come up, no, he did this and she did that. Well, he did this. And so I say, okay, this is how we're going to resolve it. There's always at least two that don't like it, usually all three. I just can't seem to make a judgment that they all like. And then if my wife is involved, might as well just forget it. It's never going to happen. No matter what I say, she's going to be looking at me disapprovingly. I know, as soon as they leave, I'm going to get a lecture. You're a bad father. That was a bad decision. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. But one day, all of humanity will stand before God, and it'll be so just and so right that everybody will be satisfied. There will be no complaints. Not one. Everything will be made right. Now, that's pretty good. That's about it. That's very hard to imagine anything much better than that.
Yeah.
Imagine if you could come in a room of this many people, just this many people, and set everything straight right now. Who's mad? Don't answer. It's more of a hypothetical. People start answering. They think maybe I'm gonna do it. Hey, I got a grief. I got a complaint. You gotta be real careful what you open the floor to in the meetings. Well, you get some people. Well, I want to tell you something about my husband. I really don't have any answers. Talk to Brian. He said he had all the answers. Man, if you could just make things right in a room this size, well, one day God will make everything right.
That's right.
And yet there's even something better than that. There's something better than such perfect, absolute justice. And that's mercy. That's better. That is better. But it has to be real mercy. It can't be the type of mercy where the victim is defrauded. That's not mercy. For some that would advocate mercy in certain crimes, but what they're really advocating is that we just let the perpetrators go. That's not mercy. Real mercy, valuable mercy, the mercy that's better than justice is the mercy that does not take away from justice. That still makes everything right. And yet both win. Now that seems impossible. It really does. It seems so impossible that it's almost incredible. And yet now I think when I see that, I begin to understand why and how the apostles were so enthralled with the concept of grace and the idea of mercy. There's always been injustice where a judge will be presented with his own son, and because it's his son, instead of recusing himself, he'll pardon him, saying, I want to be merciful. That isn't mercy. That is injustice. There's always been that in the world. That holds no value. And there's no awe when you view that. But when you see a perfect mercy that takes away nothing from justice, that is something to behold. That's incredible. Why are the authors of the Bible, why are the prophets and the apostles so in love, so amazed when they speak of these concepts? Because it's an incredible idea. That God is just. 100%. Every time, just. And at the same moment, He's the justifier. He's the justifier of those who believe.
Amen.
That's an incredible thought. To me, it's a captivating thought. I read this verse, and it captivates my imagination. How incredible is that? And that's why you find Jesus Christ coming to the Garden of Gethsemane saying, there's any other way.
Yeah.
There's any other way. But there is no other way. There is no other way. This is the only way. Now you may think you have a solution to this problem. You may think, as the Roman Catholics do, that Mary can be merciful and God can be just. But there's a whole lot of problems with that solution. You may think that God can somehow just pass over or forget about your sins because they're not that bad. Mm-hmm. And still be just to you when other people hurt you. But the truth is that this is the only solution. This is the only way out. Because God must be just. And yet He wants so dearly to be merciful to you. That is what He wants. You want to find out, read the Bible, find out what God wants. He wants to save you. He wants to justify you. Make you just, even though you're not. Justify you. He wants to do that. And Jesus Christ made that possible. That's why in this church, we worship Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't just talk about Him, we worship Him.
Amen.
We don't just sing about Him, we sing to Him. There's a big difference.
Yes, there is.
Because He made what should be impossible and is impossible. He made it every day occurring. Every time somebody gets saved, it's because Jesus Christ reconciled justice with justification.
Amen.
That's great.
Amen.
That's incredible. And that's what Paul's saying. He is the propitiation. Mm-hmm. And He is the reconciliation. He is our peace.
That's right.
Now, if you're without Jesus Christ, you're without mercy.
Mm-hmm.
All you will see is the justice of God. If you want to know what it is to be forgiven, if you want to know what it is to live under God's grace and His mercy and His love, well, there's only one way you're going to find that. And that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, those of us who are saved, we should understand that.
Mm-hmm.
We should understand that. We should understand how great it is to be forgiven. Not just because it's great for us, but because it was a great thing. This was not, that's why it says so great a salvation. You know, it's great for us, that's true, but it's more than just great for you. It's overall, absolutely great. Great. Great because Jesus Christ provided a way in which God is just and merciful. We're going to have a word of prayer. If you would like to discuss any of this with anybody, there's a lot of us in the room with Bibles. You can approach any of us and talk to us, and we will try to explain these things better to you. I'm going to ask Brother Danny Newman if he could close us with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You for being the one that is just.
Amen.
That You're able to justify.
Amen.
Lord, we thank You for Your mercy.
Amen.
Praise Your name, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray for anybody here that doesn't understand this, Lord, that they would come to You, find mercy.